The actor Alfred Molina really knows from alter egos. He can convincingly play pretty much anything. A French mayor in Chocolat, the evil Dr. Octopus in Spider-Man 2. And now on Broadway as the brilliant, tortured painter Mark Rothko in the biographical play Red. He's been nominated for the Best Actor Tony Award for his performance. Alfred Molina, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Or should I call you Fred?
Everybody calls me Fred.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the Tony nomination.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So you play Mark Rothko. A lot of people are probably familiar with his paintings, which are these giant canvases saturated with floating blocks of color. This play is set at a pivotal moment in his career in the 1950s when he suddenly decides to turn down this huge commission he's gotten to paint some paintings for the Seagram's building. How do you think Rothko, the man, is reflected in his art?
Well, I think there was clearly a rigid and very vigorous sort of intellectual and moral element to both Rothko's life and also the way he worked, just by things like the fact that he insisted on a 9-to-5 day. He would turn up for work dressed as a kind of, you know, sort of middle management in a suit and tie. Then he would change, get into his paint clothes. And that sort of rigor certainly, I think, reflects itself in the, you know, the strict geometric shapes of those paintings. And I think there's a, what he seems to demand from his work, I think, is not so much an intellectual or academic or analytical response from his audience. I think what he wants is some kind of emotional response. He wants people to feel something.
How did you get into this guy's head? Because it's a not a comfortable place, I would think, to try to inhabit. What, did you read Nietzsche? What did you do?
The list of required reading that Rothko gives his assistant at one point in the play is a rather daunting list.
Yes,
but I just read as much as I could and tried to soak up as much as I could, with the understanding that once you've done your homework, you kind of have to throw it away.
Yes.
Because audiences aren't paying to see you show off your research.
Well, exactly. You know. As I was impressed that the playwright didn't overdo that.
Well, I think John Logan managed to avoid the usual pitfalls of the bio play.
Or, yeah.
You know, no one comes in saying, "Good Lord, it's September the 6th.
Yeah, yeah. Suez happened.
Yeah. Have you heard? I know, it's like I remember seeing a movie once which had a character coming in saying something like, "Have you heard about the Germans? Terrible." It's just so awful, so clumsy.
Yeah.
But he's also created a play where it's not just the two people talking about art or the nature of art.
Although it's that.
Although it is that. But it's actually about the making of the art, the physical labor involved. And so there's a, in a sense, a world is created or recreated.
Yes, yes. And there is this fantastic scene, speaking of making art, in which Rothko and his assistant, played by Eddie Redmayne, attack this canvas with paint.
Yeah.
It's this almost primitive dance that the two of you.
Well, I think it was, I'm glad you perceived it that way, because that's precisely what John and the director and the actors were after.
Was that fun to do, that painting scene?
It is fun to do, yes.
Or is that? It's, you do it every night, of course.
It is fun to
not
do.
Not just the night I went.
We just did it for you, Kurt. We thought you'd dig it.
I did. So,
normally we have a break there.
Yeah, and, good. I'm flattered.
But yeah, it is great fun to do because it's just purely physical.
Yes.
And there's a sort of rather cathartic element to it.
Rothko's relationship with this assistant is as much about arguing and the father figure telling the boy what he should do and believe as it is about working together. I want to play a clip from the show that I think illustrates that.
So art shouldn't be popular at all now?
It should only be popular.
You may not like it, but nowadays, as many people are genuinely moved by Frank Stella as by Mark Rothko.
That's nonsense.
I don't think so.
You know the problem with these painters? It's exactly what you said. They are painting for this moment right now, and that's all. It's nothing but zeitgeist art. Completely temporal, completely disposable, like Kleenex.
Or like Campbell's soup, like comic books.
Oh, you really think Andy Warhol will be hanging in museums in 100 years alongside the Bruegels and Vermeers?
He's hanging alongside Rothko now.
Because those goddamn galleries will do anything for money! Cater to any wicked taste!
You know, zeitgeist art and Warhol and Johns and all the rest that he's ranting against. That was the dawn of the next half century that
exactly.
We're still in.
Absolutely. And in that sequence, he's coming face to face with a very uncomfortable truth about his legacy and his position in the history of and the development of modern art.
He talks a lot in the play, your character, about the difference between being liked and being respected. Is that something you think about in your work?
It is something I think about. It's a very lofty ambition for a creative person, particularly if you're a performing artist,
right?
Because so much of what we do is about people liking us. But what I do, which I am reasonably happy with, is that I don't mind playing characters who aren't likable. I don't need for there to be a redeemable moment or a redeeming quality in the character. If the character is an out-and-out SOB and has no redeeming qualities whatsoever, then that's great. I love that.
Well, and you play a lot of your blockbuster film work is playing the most evil kinds of guys.
Yeah, and I mean, there was someone said to me the other day, "Oh, Rothko, your Rothko is so unlikable." And I remember thinking, "Well, great, that's good. That means I'm not pandering."
Yes, indeed. You in film certainly have portrayed this incredible breadth of people of different nationalities, a Persian, a Russian, Mexican. What you are the go-to guy for guys who don't speak English natively, even though, of course, you do.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was just a joke. I used to say to people, this is how I really talk. The English accent I just do for the girls. but it's just an accident of birth and circumstance. My father was Spanish and my mother was Italian. And they both emigrated to England from their respective countries and met there. And I grew up in a working-class immigrant neighborhood. So I went to school with kids who were like me, first generation, born in England, and they came from all parts of Europe and the world. And so I think there was always an ease with accents. There was always, they were a big part of my growing up. So I never felt intimidated or sort of, you know, ill at ease with them.
Did you feel British growing up, English?
I strived very hard to be British because, like most kids from immigrant families, you know, you strive very hard to blend. You don't want to stick out. You want to assimilate. And so I remember having lots and lots of rows with my parents. I remember once, oh, terrible! I'm so ashamed of myself. I had a terrible fight with my dad once, and we were talking. It started off by something really stupid, like, you know, why wasn't I eating the merluzzo or something? And I said something like, well, I don't like all this Spanish stuff. You know, why can't we just have, you know, bacon and eggs? And he said something like, but you're not English. And I said, yes, I am. I'm English. I was born here. I'm English. I don't want to be. And my father just sat there and rather looked at me quietly. And then he just said, you know, Alfredo, it doesn't matter how English you feel. An English person will always remind you that you're not. And at the time, I was furious by that, but I realized, of course, he was absolutely right. I remember my first agent in England saying to me, I was Alfredo in those days, and he said, you know, darling, I think you ought to drop the O. You don't want to play Spanish waiters all your life. And I took his advice, and I did. I dropped the I, so I became Alfred Molina. And, of course, now any actor with that name wouldn't dream of doing that. It would be perfectly acceptable to be Alfredo Molina.
You do this wonderful, amazing stage work as you're doing now on Broadway. You were a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company for a while. You do these lovely small movies, but you also obviously earn a living in these giant Hollywood blockbusters like The New Prince of Persia, based on a video game, and Spider-Man. I want to play a clip from Spider-Man 2 in which you play this awesome super villain called Dr. Octopus. This is where he's actually becoming evil, and his mechanical tentacles are taking over.
Yes. We could rebuild. Enlarge the containment field. Make it bigger and stronger than ever. But we need money.
Steal it.
No, no, no. I'm not a criminal.
That's right. The real crime would be not to finish what we started.
Do it here. The power of the sun in the palm of my hand. Nothing will stand in our way. Nothing!
Alfred Molina as the evil but American, I guess, yeah. Dr. Octopus. What would the young Alfredo Molina have thought of Alfred Molina acting in movies like Spider-Man 2 and Prince of Persia?
That's a very interesting question. I think I know definitely the young Alfredo would have been very excited by the prospect of doing those films. After all, the movie that I saw that got me excited about acting in the first place was Spartacus.
Uh-huh.
So I
think Stanley Kubrick, 1950-something.
Yeah. Well, you're good. And he doesn't even have a book in front of him, ladies and gentlemen. I think it was something to do with the fact that Kirk Douglas was just so bloody marvellous in it. But I think it was something about he felt ordinary. It was like he was like an ordinary guy who was suddenly required to do something extraordinary.
To be a hero.
Exactly. And that somehow made me suddenly go, oh, maybe I can do that.
Alfred Molina, thank you very much. And good luck on these their Tony nominations, too.
Well, thank you very much there, Kurt.
You can see Alfred Molina on Broadway in Red until June 27th. And his new movie, Prince of Persia, opens this weekend.